37. In a state of mental confusion, induced by a superfluity of adrenaline in the bloodstream, Hermann Fleischer wandered through his ransacked bomber. As he discovered each new outrage, he regarded it with slitted eyes and laboured breathing. But first, it was necessary to effect a jailbreak in reverse in order to free his own captive Ashkari. When they emerged through the hole in the prison wall, Hermann curtly ordered his sergeant to administer 20 strokes of the kikobo to each of them as a token rebuke for their inefficiency. He stood by and drew a little comfort from the solid slap of the kikobo on bare flesh and the shrieks of the recipient. However, the calming effect of the floggings evaporated when Hermann entered the kitchen area of his establishment and found that his larder of painstakingly accumulated foodstuffs was now empty. This nearly broke his spirit. His jowls quivered with self-pity, and from under his tongue saliva oozed in melancholic nostalgia. It would take a month to replace the sausages alone. Heaven knew how long to replace the cheeses imported from the fatherland. From the larder, he went through to his office and found Flynn's subtleties. Herman's sense of humour was not equal to the occasion. "Pig's fine, English bastard," he muttered dejectedly, and a dark wave of despair and fatigue washed over him as he realised the futility of setting out in pursuit of the raiders. With 2 days' start, he could never hope to catch them before they reached the Rovuma. If only Governor Shea, who was so forthcoming with criticism, would allow him to cross the river one night with his Ashkari and visit the community at Lalapanzi. There would be no one left the following morning to make complaint to the Portuguese government about breach of sovereignty. Hermann sighed. He was tired and depressed. He would go to his bed now and rest a while before supervising the tidying up of his headquarters. He left the office and plodded heavily along the stoop to his private quarters and pushed open the door of his bedroom. His bedroom, temporarily uninhabitable, Hermann reposed that night on the open stoop. But his sleep was disturbed by a dream, in which he pursued Flynn O'Flynn across an endless plain without ever narrowing the gap between them, while above him circled two huge birds, one with the austere face of Governor Shea, the other with the face of the young English bandit. At regular intervals, these two voided their bowels on him. After the previous afternoon's experience, the olfactory hallucinations which form part of his dream were horribly realistic. He was tactfully awakened by one of his household servants and struggled up in bed with an ache behind his eye and a foul taste in his mouth.
"Was is it?" he growled.
"There is a bearer from Dodoma who brings a book with the red mark of the Buana Imkuba upon it." Hermann groaned. An envelope with Governor Shea's seal affixed to it usually meant trouble. Surely he could not so speedily have learnt about Flynn O'Flynn's latest escapade.
"Bring coffee."
"Lord, there is no coffee. It was all stolen." And Hermann groaned again.
"Very well. Bring the messenger."
He would have to endure the ordeal of Governor Shea's rebukes without the fortifying therapy of a cup of coffee. He broke the seal and began to read. 4th of August, 1914. The Residency, Dar es Salaam. To the Commissioner, Southern Province, at Mahenge. Sir, it is my duty to inform you that a state of war now exists between the Empire and the governments of England, France, Russia, and Portugal. You are hereby appointed temporary military commander of the southern province of German East Africa, with orders to take whatever steps you deem necessary for the protection of our borders and the confusion of the enemy. In due course, a military force now being assembled at Dar es Salaam will be dispatched to your area. but I fear that there will be a delay before this can be achieved. In the meantime, you must operate with the force presently at your disposal." There was more, much more, but Hermann Fleischer read the detailed instructions with perfunctory attention. His headache was forgotten, the taste in his mouth unnoticed, in the fierce surge of warrior passion that arose within him. His chubby features puckered with smiles. He looked up from the letter and spoke aloud, "Ja, O'Flynn, now I will pay you for the bucket." He turned back to the first page of the letter, and his mouth formed the words as he read, "Whatever steps you deem necessary for the protection of our borders and the confusion of the enemy." At last, he had the order for which he had pleaded so many times. He shouted for his sergeant.